you're here. Fellowship sweeter, knowing you're near.
Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Wednesday, September 5th, 2018. I have two items on my agenda for you today, Jason. Two items for you.
Two
I wrote
for
these down.
Me.
Yeah, I stopped by, I guess it was yesterday, or when I was checking Facebook posts and updates and such, and I saw you had something referencing mandolin therapy, so I want to ask about that. And then I saw a posting that you did. Is that Chan?
Francis Chan.
Francis
yeah.
Chan. And you had written, quoting him, I believe, mm-hmm. every time you open the Bible, be careful of what you want it to say. Mm-hmm. And I thought that's very interesting because oftentimes we do want to read in mm-hmm. our agenda or our political party or our position yeah. or our preference, or maybe it's a sin and we want to whitewash it and we're like, oh, yeah. well, that's Old Testament. You know, whatever it is, we maybe come to God's Word with our biases. Mm. Or I think you say, you know, we're not called to be editors. We're called to be
messengers.
Yeah. So talk about mandolin therapy. And then now, are you able to access that little?
Yeah, we can play. Clip?
Okay.
So mandolin therapy, this is short and sweet. It's not really that. We were at the Sweet Corn Festival. Was it last 2 weeks now? I think it was 2 weeks ago. We had a weekend where Samuel didn't have soccer because it was a holiday weekend. Tasha didn't have ladies' fellowship. There's a bunch of things that didn't happen. And so I got up and I said, hey, you always talk about us going to the farmer's market. Why don't we head over there? And we'll check it out. We love going to the farmer's market, but it's Saturday morning. It's just been so tough for us to get over to the farmer's market, but we love it in Urbana here at the Lincoln Square Mall. And so
stop by the Great News Radio right. Center when you come.
And so when we were coming to the farmer's market, we saw the Sweet Corn Festival, and I said, oh, yeah, that's going on. It happens the same weekend Muhammad has their festival. And so we came and we did the farmer's market, and we got some vegetables, and we got some different stuff. And then we said, well, let's, you know, we're already parked for the farmer's market. Let's just walk over to the Sweet Corn Festival. So we walked over there, and on the corner in downtown Urbana is the Champaign Center for the Arts. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And what they had done is they set up a tent. Brilliant. This is really brilliant what they did. They set up a long tent with tables, and on the tables they had musical instruments. They had ukulele, a violin, a saxophone, a clarinet, drums. They had a banjo, a guitar, a mandolin. They had all these instruments. And they were only like maybe 100 feet from the stage where that morning they were having all these kids who were part of the Champaign Center for the Arts performing. Mm. I mean, these are kids playing the violin. I mean, it was beautiful, the music these kids were making. At the tables, they had all these instruments laid out. They had instructors, and kids could come up and pick up the instruments, and the instructors were showing them how to play it. And so I posted some pictures on Facebook of my family. It was like the Partridge family. They all picked it up. And really, I have to give them kudos because they taught the kids exactly what they needed to know in that moment to have them make something positive happen. My son picked up the violin. The guy's like, no, hold it like this, and then kind of gently run the bow around the strings, not on the strings. And my son didn't know that. You know, my son's like, Dad, I could play the violin.
Yeah.
Like, instantly, like, he signed up for lessons,
positive
and he
experience.
Bought a violin yeah. before I've even said yes.
Yes.
And that happened for every single one of my, I mean, they walked away. Not only that, but listen, this is how brilliant it was. We're walking away, and Tasha goes, I think I could totally play the viola. I think I really could. This could be my thing. I think I could do that. I'm like, you? Yeah, me. I could do it. I really could do it. To the point where she's, like, still thinking about it. She's still talking about it. She's like, oh, I could do that. You heard me. You heard me.
Yeah.
Like, I could be a Krannert one day. I'm like, oh, I don't know if you could be a Krannert. Maybe. We'll see. But they had a mandolin. And I already play the guitar. I dabble with the guitar. I won't say I play the guitar. I dabble with playing the guitar. I love, you know, it's relaxing. It's that. And so, and I love, I've loved more and more bluegrass music and kind of folky kind of music. And the mandolin is part of that. And so when we got back, we were looking at, you know, what does a violin cost? Gosh, a violin is like thousands of dollars. And I'm like, I don't think we're going to get any violins.
Yeah.
I said, who wants a piano? Because those are free, like, all day long
yeah,
on the
that's
internet.
Right. Yeah, as long as you pick them up.
Yeah, and Tasha's like, well, what if we end up not wanting a piano? That's hard to get rid of.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm thinking, yeah, piano is, it's really heavy, it's really big, what do we do? So I'm thinking, man, that mandolin was really small. It was just a little thing. So I happened to actually go on the internet, and there was a place that sells like a beginner mandolin for $50. I think it ended up being $40 because it was on sale. They had some kind of sale going on. So I ordered it. I brought it in. I set it up. I did all that. And I've been loving it. So, and I've really kind of like, oh, I get it. I get the mandolin. So I've been, mandolin therapy is simply me picking up the mandolin and me playing a little bluegrass music. Last night I was playing, I Went Down by the River Do Pray. And just having a, just doing that. I was playing Mighty Fortress one day.
Now you're a picker?
I'm a picker. Just something to do to kind of, with the stresses and different things that happen. Yeah. It's just a good way to pull my head out of that. I really enjoy playing music. I did it when I was a kid, played in bands, and loved doing that. And I do have this dream that, like, my family will all pick something up, and we will, at our house, have times where we sing together. And we do. Because when I pick up the guitar and I play the guitar, generally one or two of my other family members, Tasha and one of the kids, comes up and they sing along. And we just, it's just kind of a time that we share together. So,
Schiffo family on the road.
So I think that when I posted mandolin therapy, it was mainly around the fact that our kids had gone with their grandparents for 2 days or a day, full day. 24 hours. I counted as 2 days because they left on Sunday and they didn't come back till Monday.
Sure, sure.
So that's 2 days. I'm like Jewish in that way. Yeah. It's 2 days. It doesn't matter. There's two words in there. So they came back, and when they came back, they don't always come back the same as when they left.
Yeah, that's right.
And it was worse this time. I don't know what it was. They went to this thing where it was like a family reunion, and there's a parade, and there's this whole thing. But somebody.
You know who you are.
They came back with pixie sticks. I'm like, what? Do you know what you're doing? So it was a little harder this time to bring them back. And so the other night after they went to bed, I just took the mandolin and I went off into a corner and had a little mandolin therapy trying to get my head back right.
Get back to center, as they say.
It's really kind of funny, though, because, they had this parade and it was down south. I think it's down by, Herrick or St. Elmo. It's a small community, central Illinois, dyed-in-the-wool, you would say dyed-in-the-wool kind of red community. Everybody there is very conservative. And so I think the parade that they had was probably, with everything that's happening politically, it was more patriotic than maybe it had been in the past. I'm not sure because we never go. We always say this is a great time for you guys to go and us to not have to go. It's usually outside and it's super hot. But they had this parade and it was, I guess, very patriotic. And so Samuel, our 4-year-old, has been walking around the house this morning. I said, all right, the kids were leaving. I said, have a great day. Jesus loves you. We hope you be kind, be good, be that. And Samuel stands up and he goes, and God bless America. And he keeps saying that. Last night we went in to say goodnight to him. And we said, Samuel, good night. We love you. I love you, Dad. God bless America.
So whatever, politician.
Whatever he heard in this parade has stuck. And now it's like, God bless America everywhere. Yeah. I think he closed our prayer last night at dinner with God bless America. And so, I think that's good. There's other places where I'm going like, dude, that's where we say amen.
Yeah. Hey, the question now on the floor is, will you be bringing the mandolin to Israel? Because you've been practicing to be our worship leader. It's going to be one or the other.
I would love to. This is why I would love to. Because that thing easily fits in my suitcase. You could put it in my suitcase and bam, we're good to go. But probably I'm not at the point yet where that could really... Yeah. It's already hard enough. We did the Israel night at the center here, and Tasha and I did a song, and then we led a song. And there were still some hiccups in there because it's just, when you're the only person, most of the time I help with facilitating worship at the church every week because I love to play the music and I love the people and I love being a part of that. But I get to hide out. I'm in the middle of all this noise. And so if I make a mistake, it's not that big of a deal. But when you're the only thing, and you clearly make a mistake or even, I think that...
flat with a note or something.
Well, that night at the Israel thing, too, I think we were singing the Chris Tomlin version of, Amazing Grace, My Chains Are Gone. It's a little bit different. It's kind of the traditional, but then there's a little bit different. And so I think that trying to figure that out, and so you're trying to slow down, speed up to bring everybody along. And so I know guys who are worship leaders, and I just am in awe of how intuitive it is for them. But for me, I actually have to think about that. Right. Whereas, for me, preaching is intuitive. Preaching is just a part of who I am, and sharing in those ways is a part of who I am. And it was funny, my wife said, she goes, She goes, you were, like, talking before we were playing the music, and you were, like, just doing your thing, you know, like you always do. And she goes, and then you're, like, playing the music, and you're, like, sweating.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, because it's, like, it's work. Yeah. Like, all of a sudden, it's, like, it's
well,
harder.
Not your primary gift. But
yeah, so. No, not at all. And so will I play the mandolin in Israel? I would love to, but I'm going to say probably not. The only thing that might make it make an appearance is that I was, and this is a shout-out to the Grahams who went to Israel with us on the last trip. My target is how they packed.
Oh.
And so this time around, I am like, how do I take the least amount of things? Like, that my bag doesn't weigh anything. And already I've like, narrowed it down, and I go, I will have so much room in my suitcase.
Yeah.
Like, I could put the mandolin in there, and you wouldn't even know it was in there. Because, I mean, I've got it narrowed down, like, the right kind of clothes so that I can put them in the sink and wring them out and get them smelling fresh again. And I'm just like, oh, I can't. Because I don't want to. Every year I bring more stuff, and you leave and you go.
Almost everyone does that. In fact, the Grahams, when they packed for this trip, and they were including an extension into Rome, so they had like another 7 or 9 days, I can't remember exactly, and they returned on different flights, but they had these little carry-on pieces of luggage, just one each, and maybe a backpack.
It was little. I mean, this is not like a regular bag. This is a little carry-on.
Yeah, and we're like, that's for our 10-day trip, and then the extension you're going to take into Italy or wherever. And they're going, yeah, we've done this before. We pack simply.
Yeah, and they watched some videos. There were some kind of something where they tutorials on how to pack and what you'll need. And I watched some of those. And the guy says, you know, the biggest thing is getting over the fear of not having what you need.
Right.
And one of the things he says, and I go, yeah, that's so true. He goes, listen, if you get somewhere and you need it, you can just buy it.
Yeah.
And wherever you're going is probably touristy, and you can get it for next to nothing.
Right.
And I thought, yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, if you go, oh, I'm a T-shirt short, you know, I guess I'm going to get, you know, the I Went to Israel T-shirt to wear. It's not a big deal. You can get those for like $5. I'm so challenged to take so little so that I don't have to lug the bag around. It's not that big of a deal. And so if it makes an appearance, it's only because because my kids think the mandolin is super cool, and so I keep catching them, like, dancing around with it, and I think they're going to break it.
Yeah, that's right.
I even told my wife the other night that I'm going to order another $50 mandolin and just leave it out so they can destroy it, and they won't touch mine.
That's right.
She's like, yours, that's a problem.
Oh, yes. Hey, do we have time? Can you pull up that Francis?
Yeah, let's listen to this. And again, what is the quote?
Every time you open the Bible, be careful of what you want it to say.
Verse 3, he says, for the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. He's in the last days. He goes, there's a time coming when people are not going to put up with this. They will not endure sound teaching. But instead, having itching ears, there's certain things you want to hear. And he says they're going to leave the sound teaching, and they're going to look for teachers who tell them what they want to hear. So here's my real desire. See, that's the issue here. The issue is not just about truth and lies. The issue is about desire. Be careful of what you want. Be careful. Every time you open this book, be careful of what you want it to say. Because there are certain things I wish this book said, you know, but it doesn't. And there's certain things in this book that I don't want it to say, but it says it. And every time we come before you, we've got to say, okay, God, I have wants. I have desires. I've got to put those. That's what it means to follow you. Otherwise, I'm not following anyone but myself.
Now, that's a clip that you have posted, I think, on Monday, your Facebook.
Yeah.
And so that was a clip of a larger message that was presented?
Yeah, it was like a 45-minute message where he was talking about it. And the message was really good. He was talking about, and it's kind of ironic. There's an irony in this because he was giving this message which really was denouncing the fact that he was even able to give a message, because he was saying that for too much of the time we spend talking about teachers, or we talking about preachers, or talking about this, he says he finds too few people who say, this is what I read in the Bible today. Did you see what God was doing? Instead, we talk about, did you hear what Francis Chan said? Did you hear what John MacArthur said? Did you hear this thing? You know, we spend far more time kind of enamored with teachers than we are enamored with the Bible. And this is part of a bigger movement Francis Chan has, where he's developing this application where churches all across the country would be reading the same thing at the same time. And his goal, his heart behind it, and he says it in this message, is that when you run across another Christian, that you would be able to say, hey, what about Romans 7 today? Wow, did you see that? Because everybody would be reading the same thing, you know, kind of like he's just tapping into something that's very old, you know, a common lectionary where everybody would read the same thing. But for him, it's wrapped around reading the whole counsel of God.
And the Jewish practice is that, right?
Oh, totally.
All around the world.
Yeah. And so the idea is that we would have one shared experience around the Word of God. And I think that would be so powerful, because he's right. We do. We are enamored by teachers. We are like, you know, wow, did you hear this guy or did you do this? And what we really are saying, and it's funny because we would read that passage in Timothy and we would just talk about false teachers. And obviously Paul is writing to Timothy and saying false teachers. But how many times has your ears itched to hear this teacher versus the one that God has put in your life? I mean, I'm just being honest. I've had people over the years say to me, well, I wish you were a little bit more like John MacArthur. I wish you were a little bit more like John Piper. I wish you were a little bit more like Matt Chandler. I wish you were a little bit more like this. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe you could take some notes from them. You could listen to some things. I've heard people say that to me. They've said it to me. And I always receive it and go, okay. And you know what? There have been times where I've chased that carrot. And it doesn't end well, because God made that person to do that thing. And he didn't make me to do that thing. And when I try and do their thing, it seems fake. It's not me doing what God has called me to do. It's me trying to be somebody I'm not. And sure, there are influences. And sometimes you hear a little bit of that, of influences kind of creep through for people. But he made them to do what they're doing, and he made you to do. And so, but I think that all across the world, Mark, there are people sitting in churches who are like, you know, I like this church and I like the people, but man, if my pastor was just a little bit more like John MacArthur, if he's a little bit more this, like this, or like this, or like this. And what that is saying is that your ears are itching for something other than what God has given you. And I said this in another Facebook post that came out of my message on Sunday. If anything other than what's happening to you right now you long for, what you're really saying is you don't like what God is doing in your life right now. Because wherever you're at right now, if God is sovereign, if he's leading, if he's guiding, whatever you're experiencing today is where he's brought you to experience it. Now, maybe you're experiencing something very negative, and that's impacted by the fact that you're sinful and you've done something sinful, and now you're. But God is involved in that. God is involved in bringing you back out of that, and he's involved in a discipline in the midst of it. But listen, with the church you're at and where you're attending, unless what they're saying is heresy and it's and all this kind of stuff, unless it's that stuff, why are you itching for something else? In the past few years, it's interesting, and it's funny that I listened to this message by Francis Chan. I started listening to it on Labor Day. And kind of it took some time for me to listen to it. I listened to it over the course of throughout the whole day. Would come back to it then. Because I really have trouble these days listening to other messages of other people. And it's not because I don't think they have something great to bring to the table. It's not because of any of that. It's because I know my own ears will itch. I know that I'll want to hear those things. And I know that I'll be influenced by those things. And so I spend less time listening like that, and I spend more time trying to do, I guess, the things I'm supposed to do. You know, but I really love.
Or I'm just wondering, just reading it for yourself.
Yeah, reading it for myself.
Instead of hearing it, or
right.
Sometimes people will look at the commentary, what do other people say about it, instead of read.
Right, and the commentary is different because you're reading the commentary and you're understanding. You're attempting to understand the text in a way that you can't understand it alone. Now, you have the Holy Spirit, so when you read it, you always got the Holy Spirit helping you to understand it. But there are points that come out that you're like, oh, wow, okay, what does that word mean? And why is it used in this way? Let me go to the commentary. I'm not against commentary. I'm not against any of that. But I'm against lifting up preachers, myself included, lifting myself up to a position where you want to hear me more than you want to hear the Word of God, more than you want to hear what God has to say. And so you get up in the morning and you'll be like, oh, man, it's Wednesday. Jason's on. Yeah, I can't wait to get to the radio and turn it on. Woo-hoo! I would hope you would have far more zeal to get to the Word of God and to hear what God has to say. And then Francis Chan makes this, and the only reason I posted the clip was because he said what I think desperately needs to be said, and that is, be careful that you don't come to the book and try and make it say what you want it to say. That instead you listen to what God is saying. and you accept his gentle and sometimes not so gentle correction, and that you realize that the Bible says some things you hate that it's, look at, I wish there were things the Bible didn't say. I really do, because it makes the conversations I have to have with people so much harder. And there are things that I wish the Bible did say, just like Francis Chan said, because it would make conversations so much easier. But the Bible says what the Bible says, and it's really, it's God saying what God says. And so when we have a low view of the Word, we have a low view of God. Because if I had that same view of the words that my wife speaks to me, I don't know how long we would remain married. Mm. Because she would be frustrated at how little I cared for what she had to say. And listen, I love my wife. She's great. She's an important part of my life. But she's not God. This is God. So the weight of what he says bears even greater upon us. And so we have to care. We have to start with him and his words. And I know it's hard. I know it's hard to read the Bible sometimes. I know it's a big book. It's long. That's the reason why God used men to break it down into shorter little sub-chapters. Mm-hmm. So you could have these little paragraphs you could read. And listen, you don't have to get it all, but you do have to read it.
Yeah. Yeah, we've started a new practice where when we sit down for a meal, one of those little scripture verses with a little reading on the back. So we pull it out, read the scripture, talk about it a little, and then Esther has her turn, Holly has her turn. And just, again, honoring God's word, allowing that word to speak truth into our hearts and being aware of it. There was also a post, I don't know who had it, but you go to church on Sunday to worship God, and it wasn't a good experience. Well, whose fault was that?
One of my elders.
I don't know how it goes. But
our time is almost done, but the quote was really good. It was, when you go to church and you go to church to worship, and you say, the worship wasn't really good today.
Yeah.
It wasn't worshiping you.
Yeah.
You don't get to be the person who would say the worship wasn't good would be God, not you.
Right.
And by the way, if you say the worship wasn't good and you showed up to worship, you're part of the problem.
Yeah, right. That's what I saw right in it. It's like, we're the problem because God is worthy of worship. So regardless, we should be worshiping, celebrating, rejoicing, thankful, glad, filled up because we're in the presence of God.
Why do you do this at the end of the program? Because it's such a, isn't it an insane statement to say, me, a fallen human being living under Romans 3:23, this worship didn't meet my expectations.
Yeah. Or to just say, worship wasn't good today. Well, who was the problem?
Right. Yeah.
All right, gotta go. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you. Have a great day and night.